That's the one I want too, Daniel. Thank you. Good morning. So the whole month, this whole month, is dedicated to living your lessons, which is a very peculiar idea of living a joyous life for the whole year. And so living your lessons, and I have a lot of thoughts about living your lessons. I really don't think that we were given lessons, but we can learn from the feedback that life is always giving us, by noticing what's happening, by noticing who's saying what, by noticing what our conditions are to notice. And today's topic is the pause button. Well, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the pause button. It has to be use the pause button. If we don't use it, there's no sense in having it. And so you know on your remote, when do you use your pause button? When do you use the pause button on your remote for your television? When you have to go to the bathroom, when you're interrupted, when the phone rings and you don't want to lose part of your program, you might use when you want a snack, et cetera, et cetera. And if we think about ourselves, we think life. In my life, I have a pause button. And when could I benefit by using the pause button in life? When we're obsessing over something, when we're in crisis, when there's so much happening. And this is a perfect topic for today, because here it is, the first of the year for school children, which means for parents, the first of the dance lessons, the sports activities, the driving to and fro, all of the scheduling that you're doing right now to accommodate everyone in your life. One of the books that I was reading to prepare for this message this morning was a Wayne Muller book. Wayne Muller is, I think he was a social worker, and he worked with clients. He's written several books, and one of the books that he wrote, he had a whole chapter on busyness or restfulness. Busyness or restfulness. Sometimes in our, and even in our spiritual work, we get so busy. And even when we're in the habit of being busy, our normal lives can get busy and they're not even busy. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I just came home from Canada Wednesday. My suitcase is not unpacked because I've been so busy. Well, that isn't even true. I didn't take time to create order, and it was a choice. But I wasn't too busy. And I continuously say I'm so busy. Anyone? Okay, a couple of you. A couple in the back, as Tom Johnson used to say. A couple in the back are also have that mindset. I'm so busy. And when whatever we say, whatever we give our attention to, that becomes our life. That becomes our experience. So when we say, I'm so busy, then we get more busyness. What if we say, I always have time to breathe, and you do, don't you, right? You always have time to breathe, to press the pause button, and decide, choose, is this direction of my thought going in the way that's going to serve me? Is it bringing me better good? Is it bringing me more joy, more God, more love? Or is it constricting me? Is it making me feel less than myself? Is it a burden to me? Any of those things, if that's where your thought is taking you, then you're not learning from the feedback life is giving you. If we are created in the image and likeness of the one, of God, then we're created to be what God is, creators, filled with what God is, love, joy, harmony, prosperity, and abundance, with absolute freedom to do whatever it is that is ours to do, whatever it is that we're guided to do. And I know that when we get busy, we forget to do our spiritual practices. We forget to pause. So I was thinking about how useful this would be to press the pause button and to remind myself, who am I anyway? To remind myself that I'm made in the image and likeness of the One. And that One is divine love, freedom, joy. And to take a new thought, to let that thought take a new direction than the one that it has been going in, crisis or obsession or lack. A few years ago, we used a book by Mark Nepo. Some of you may remember it. It was our daily journal. Mark Nepo is a poet, and every day was a bit of poetry and some questions and ideas to contemplate for the day. He has something to say about listening, and I, not in that journal, but in another one, and I would like to share it with you. I loved the book, and maybe we'll go back to one of his other books in the future. So this is from an excerpt from The Exquisite Risk, Daring to Live an Authentic Life. Well, first of all, wouldn't you love to live an authentic life? If you were living truly an authentic life, there would be no struggle or burden or stress because you'd just be being yourself. That's your normal, natural way of being. So it begins with one of his poems. They say that spirits make music by moving through the breaks in what is living. They say that spirits make music by moving through the breaks in what is living. If so, the work of love is to hold each other and listen. The work of love is to hold each other and listen. He goes on to say, when I was ill, and I'm looking around and seeing there are several people who could be writing this very thing, when I was ill, it was easy to separate myself from others as patients surrounded by caregivers. While this, of course, was outwardly accurate, in the truer moments of crisis, we needed each other. And it was hard to tell who was ill and who was well, who was giving and who was getting. In the center of it, we were just tumbled in an authentic embrace that saved us all. During those days, I had a dream in which love was the fire and experience was the wood. And since I've come to understand that it's the loving of experience that releases the warmth and light that waits in each of us. There's warmth and light in you, in each of us. He goes on, this is why experience is necessary for living through it. The love we are born with becomes who we are. He goes on, my own time on earth has led me to believe in two powerful instruments that turn experience into love. What are they? Holding and listening. For every time I've held or been held, every time I've listened or been listened to, experience burns like wood in that eternal fire, and I find myself in the presence of love. This has always been so. Consider these two old beliefs and carry the wisdom and challenge of holding and listening. The first is the age-old notion that when holding a shell to your ear, you can hear what? The ocean. It always seems to work. The scrutiny of medicine has revealed that when you hold the shell to the ear, you actually hear your own pulsations, your own pulsations, the ocean of your blood being played back to you. Yet this fact does not diminish this mystery. It only enhances it. For holding a shell to your ear teaches you how to hear the whole through the part and how to find the universe within us. It teaches us that when we dare to hold another being like a shell to our ear, we hear both the mystery of the life and the ocean of our own blood. Amazingly, each being has the story of the universe within them. Each soul is a shell shaped by the currents of the deep. Even physically, the inner ear, that delicate source of balance is shaped like a conch. And so, whatever is held and listened to will show us where it lives in the world and in us. That brings us to the second belief. The folklore that if a horse breaks its leg, it must be put down. Sorry, animal lovers. I've discovered that this isn't true. Oh, it's true that it happens. Breeders shoot horses with broken legs as if there's nothing to be done. But now I know that they do this for themselves, not for the horse. In just this way, fearful and selfish people cut the cord to those who are broken, not wanting to sit with a friend who can't find tomorrow, not wanting to be saddled with someone who will slow them down, not wanting to face what is broken in themselves. In this lies the challenge of compassion. For when we dare to hold those forced to the ground, dare to hold them close, the truth and listening sings, and we are carried into the wisdom of broken bones and how things heal. There are quiet braveries we all need. The courage to wait and watch with all who are who we are, the courage to admit that we are not alone, the courage to hold each other to the ear of our heart, and the courage to care for the things that are broken. The practice ground for these braveries is always the small things at hand. Somehow, though the practice of doing small things with great love, as Mother Teresa said, we learn how to be brave. In truth, the work of love is tending to small things completely. Such tending opens the mystery. By the large-heartedness of our smallest attention, we enter the ocean of love that carries us all. Simply and profoundly, the work of love is to love. For in the act, the universe comes alive. Such aliveness is the space that opens between us. As Martin Buber says, when two bow and touch in the true way. So when you hit the pause button, hitting the pause button means taking a moment, turning within, letting go of the outer, going to the inner place, the resources within you where the mystery lies, where the love is, where that thing that you were born with resides. And you know it's always talking to you. But often we're so busy with what's going on in our lives, again the word busy, that we fail to hear that whisper of God within us that's always saying something like, you're wonderful, I love you, just the way you are, you're perfect, whole, complete. That's the voice of God. It's the voice of good. The voice of God within you. When we press the pause button, of course, we could just go into more drama, more busyness. But it's an opportunity to make a different choice. One of Daniel's favorite songs of mine is Love is My Decision. A decision. A decision, a choice to love, to press that pause button and say, whatever I've been doing up until now isn't who I really am. Who I really am is an immortal, powerful being here to love and be loved, here to prosper and be prospered. So, how can you do it? How can you do it? You know, there are many, many spiritual practices, and I encourage you, first of all, to start a meditation practice so it's easy for you to hit that pause button. Take a class. There's going to be one in January, February, March. It's going to be one in March on meditation. So take a class. Learn how. Listen to Oprah and Deepak. And there's lots of ways that you can learn how to get still. And this wonderful book that I'm reading by my colleague, Reverend Dr. Edward Villeun, How to Meditate. The book simply says, first of all, be still. Get still. When you press the pause button, you get still. And when you get still, when all that noisiness disappears, what you hear is truth. And it's power. It's freedom. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, ask yourself, if I press the pause button right now, if I press that pause button, would I have a different experience? Would I have a different experience? Wayne Muller also talks about, in his work of counseling, how he was counseling some people who had been, two different people who had been diagnosed with clinical depression and were being treated for it. And he talked about the second person, Ellen was her name. And he said, Ellen, tell me about your life. Well, she had been working as, she has been working with AIDS patients, and they had all been dying. Her work was looking after people who were dying. And now her very best friend was sick and was going to die. And he listened to her, and he said, Ellen, I don't think you're clinically depressed. I think you're tired. And she burst into tears. She burst into tears. When you hear truth, what happens? Something in you says, yes, that was truth. You burst into tears. You say, yes, it's true. I need rest. I need rest. I think it's Thomas Keating who said this. Silence is God's first language. All the rest are interpretations. Silence is God's first language. So we do need to learn to get quiet, to be still, to listen to that wisdom within us that always guides us to a happier, better life and frees us from our obligations, from the things we think we have to do, moves us into a greater life, greater freedom. So, what did you say? You said obsessions. You said, so sometimes I love to watch good movies. And so sometimes in the middle of a movie, someone will call me, my phone will ring, that's when I press the pause button. So sometimes the pause button is to remind you of all the things you could be grateful for. Sometimes it's just a simple wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to be grateful for all the good that you have already in your life. Just to say thank you. Thank you, universe, for this body that works. Thank you, universe, for the freedom to practice whatever religion I practice. Thank you, universe, for my friends. Thank you, universe, for the knowledge that we have it that supports us in all ways, whatever it is. So sometimes we press the pause button just to say, thank you, thank you. And sometimes we press the pause button to stop the nonsense and remember the truth. And sometimes we might need to press that pause button to call someone to remind us of what is true. Sometimes we need a practitioner or minister or good friend who can hear our story without thinking we are our story, without believing that it's the truth about us, but rather they can say, there's something in you that is much greater than what you've been experiencing. It's that all good that you are. It is that all good that you are. So think of a time in the last week when life was getting busy, when there seemed to be too many things to handle. And think about how you handled it. And if you handled it by pressing the pause button and going in deep into the silence, give yourself a standing ovation. But if you didn't, if you reacted rather than responded with choice, be so sweet and gentle to yourself. You're doing the best you can. And see yourself doing it a different way. Visualize yourself making a different choice, choosing to stop and have a different experience. You all know that I just came back from Canada, where my 94-year-old mother lives, and she's doing very well. She says to say hello to everybody. My days were spent avoiding the flu my sister was getting, and which I did very well, avoided it, because I pressed that pause button, and spending time with my mom, who always gives me the same jobs to do. And I actually was feeling a little resentful of my sisters and brothers who weren't participating in doing this job. And I realized she hadn't asked them. She'd asked me. It was my job to do. And so to do it with grace and with ease. It wasn't a big thing. It was just time consuming. And I was doing it there with her, which is really the only thing she wanted, for me to be there. For the first time in 21 years, I saw in her eyes her sadness that I was living so far away. And as she said, you know, I miss you. And I heard it. I listened. I heard it with love, yes. And I speak to her almost every day on Skype, so there's a thing that I read in the piece that Nepo said about holding touch. So maybe today, you'll not only press the pause button and listen to that wisdom within you, but instead of being so ruggedly independent, you might put your head on someone's shoulder and feel that being held. That connection that love is, listening and holding, listening and holding. I know that there's a graceful way for this all to wrap up. And so what I know is that you do press those pause buttons. And I'm going to take us into prayer. So get still for a moment. Let your body relax. Let your face relax. Feel that presence and power of the divine within you. And this is what I know for certain. I know that there is only one, and that one is everywhere present. In its entirety, it's all love, all power. It is the greatness, the glory of God. It is all-knowing. It is both the creative process and the creation of that process. And it is right where I am, right as me, in me, through me. And I speak this word in the first person for everyone here and everyone who receives it. This is what I know. I know God is everything I am, and that I am a way for that one that is love and life to express. So with great gratitude, I turn within often. I connect with the source of supply, the source of being. I connect with the power and the fullness, the love that God is. And in that connection, I reveal the beauty that I am. I reveal the wholeness, the truth. I recognize that love surrounds and indwells me, and I give that love easily. I connect. I hold precious things preciously with tenderness. I see the glory and the greatness of God in everyone I see. Everyone is giving me feedback about who I am, and for that I'm so very grateful. I'm so very grateful to be reminded of this great life that is God's life in me. I'm so very grateful for the power, the glory, the greatness of God. I'm so very grateful for life itself and for the wisdom and knowledge that comes from study, from silence, from practice. I practice my spiritual practices with greater and greater ease. For I remember life is easy and life is for me, and that there's more than enough, and I am more than enough. I remind myself of these truths now and always, I remind myself that every answer I seek is already known to God in me, and I simply turn within and I listen with love. I'm so very grateful that this is so. I'm so very grateful for the power and passion and glory of God in me and in all life. And with my heart filled with gratitude, I simply release this word to the action of law. It is complete. And please join me to anchor this by saying, and so it is. Thank you.